Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the star of the show, Mr. Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, long time no talk. How you been?
All's good. You know, there's a wise man once said, when you do what you love, you don't work a day. So everything's good. We're a good business talking trees. I happen to be down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina right now. A little getaway with the family. They're out looking for sharks on the pier. And I figured I love what we do so much. Let's take another half hour, talk about trees and some things that we haven't covered in a while. So I'm good, buddy. We're good.
I appreciate the dedication. I think our listeners appreciate the dedication that you have towards seeing this thing through. So, and hopefully your family doesn't mind too much. But yeah, let's geek out on trees for a bit.
The family knows I'm a tree dork, and they know it's, and you know, they're like, okay, Dad, hey, good luck. And I get a kiss and a hug, and they go do their thing, and they know that I'm doing this, and they love it. But you know what, Corey, I know you're probably a lot like me, is that when you travel to different parts of the country and different parts of the world, you can't help but look at different trees too. Now, you know, down here, obviously, because Myrtle Beach is touristy, a lot of palm trees, a lot of, and I'm trying to think myself, you know, some live oaks, obviously live oaks, but are palm trees really native this far north on the coast?
Huh.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
And everything's green. Everything seems to be doing well. It's just interesting because I can't help but walk past a shrub or a plant or something like, oh my God, I've never seen that before. Then you get your plant ID out, your little apps, and you're trying to figure stuff out. And family's like, would you knock it off? But all's good. But I think tonight, you know, you and I were bantering back and forth before the record button hit, you know, in the last couple of days. I wanted to build on our science, not just insects and diseases, but we dabble a little bit in nutrition, but I wanted to get into modern science. You know, what does this tree, taking care of tree and tree preservation, look like in the future?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of the catch terms that we talk about? Because, you know, our listeners know we're on the other side of the coin as manufacturers, and we, Arborjet's a unique company where we're pretty tight knit with research, that we get to play with a few things and discuss ideas. So without giving up any trade secrets, let's go that way. Let's go.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Well, yeah, we'll try not to give up any trade secrets or anything proprietary, and keep it as professional, as optimistic as possible. But Joe, I think that's a great topic. And I think the industry's tracking in the right direction. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about kind of the evolution of chemistries and compounds. And I do think the industry's heading in the right direction. I think any future compounds need to really, really, really look at applicator safety and pollinator safety.
You know what, and Corey, we have to put on soil safety.
Soil safety, yeah. Why not?
I think this is one thing I wanted to start off with. Now, safety, because unfortunately, a lot of compounds that we use, it takes quite a while to realize the adverse effects. Now, we as a manufacturer, we try so hard, and it takes a long time to bring a product to market. And there's got to be research, and there's toxicology reports, and there's study after study after study of the pros and cons of this new tech. So it's not like, so I just want the listeners to know, it's not like you sit there and you got a couple test tubes, some beakers, you're bubbling some stuff up, a bug bumps into it and dies, and you register it and you go apply. There's a lot. And then there's review processes that have to go out there. And that's just about everything that we apply out there.
And it's got to work.
And work? Oh, I didn't even think of that. and be effective, because in the end user grabs it to apply it to get rid of, say a nuisance box elder bugs in the fall with millions of them on the back of their house facing the sun. So you need to go to that supplier, grab a container, and apply it and have it work. And know that what you're applying is as safe of a product as you can possibly have to apply.
And it has to be registered in your state, which we don't need to get into that tonight. Maybe we'll bring on Nick some. We should bring Nick on sometime and talk about straight registrations, because that's a whole other bag of.
I think that would be a multi-segmented.
Oh yeah. Thing.
You're right. Every state and every province and every county and can have it restricted, or they can have restrictions for whatever they think it needs to be. But let's go back into. We kind of went down a little rabbit hole, but let's back up a little bit, get back out of this hole. Let's talk about soil health. Now, you mentioned the industry trending in the right direction, and I think soil health is trending. I think that when all comes down to it, because when I got into the business 35 plus years ago, it was pretty much integrated pest management. We were focused on the insect or disease that you've seen. And you applied for that, and that was your treatment. What's nice now that as it's evolved into plant health care, I think it needs to evolve maybe even a step further as to soil health care. Because even in forest settings, soils are becoming depleted. And we need to figure out a way to keep that 4 to 6 inch layer on the surface of the earth alive and healthy to continue to provide.
You just said something that I really hope our listeners picked up on. And you probably said it without even thinking about it, but you just said, keep our soils alive. So I think a lot of the times we're up there looking at the tree, looking at the canopy, looking up, oh, wow, 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 wow. But beneath you, there's living material, soil microbes, fungi, bacteria, all this stuff.
Oh, you know what? We might have said it in previous, but one handful has a billion living organisms.
It's crazy.
In that. And I love doing a tree below grade presentation, because I always start off with dirt. There's always one person in the crowd. Oh, there's no such thing as dirt. Oh, my God, you said dirt. I'll tell you what, I've worked with some dirt in urban settings, and dirt is a medium that is no longer living. So plant health care, soil health care is kind of the future. And I think there's a lot of advanced technology and a lot of advanced research being conducted in agriculture on soils. I think maybe urban forestry and forestry, they probably do in forestry. I know there's a lot of ecologists involved in forestry, keeping the forest as healthy as possible. But is it time we bring more of that into urban forestry?
100%. Yes.
You know, there's some pretty neat stuff out there, and we have to find a way to get into soil health and urban landscapes as a more pronounced endeavor. I know there's a lot of companies out there doing it, but I don't know if enough are.
Well, how do we make it sexy? How do we make it sexy for the masses? How can we help our listeners and maybe the industry conceptualize healthy soil, or what does it mean to have healthy soil?
You know what? If we land that and find that out, man, we'll be off. We'll be all set. We could probably retire.
Hey, that'd be nice.
I think the scary thing about it is because microbiology, because we can't see it, we can't understand it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Right.
So, I think we need to focus on, you know, soil health, and then, you know, look at some of the, you know, let's get out of the dirt. Let's get away from the roots. Let's get up and let's look at some of the trending compounds. Let's talk about plant growth regulators and insect growth regulators. So the holy neat realm of different compounds that we can apply that minimizes adverse effects to the environment, and we can slowly control an insect's life cycle to where we could slow that insect down by eliminating life cycle changes. And what about plant growth regulator, gibberellin blockers, things that don't just control the growth of the plant. It changes physiological processes within the plant to get out of its own way to become healthier.
I would love to geek out on plant growth regulators with you, Joe.
Let's go down that a little bit. We know we've talked in the past about right plant, right spot. I know we've talked about, and even tonight, healthy soil, healthy this. But when none of that is enough, and it's not an insect, it's not a disease, it's some abiotic disorder that, and believe me, I still bump into situations where I don't know what's going on, why a tree's declining. I think that's when we need to look at something it's pretty amazing in what it's designed to do and start doing more work with that, which could be plant growth regulators.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. And I think when people hear plant growth regulators, they think they're probably thinking of a couple things. A, what is that? B, I'm using it for this. I think a lot of people get into plant growth regulators because they're trying to regulate, right? Reduce above ground growth, which is good because it's less, pruning intervals that you have. It's less debris that you generate and have to put into a landfill or compost or whatever. But that's just scratching the surface of what people in the tree industry are using growth regulators for.
Well, in because you said lengthened interval pruning cycle, you know how many times I've had people complain about that? Well, that's what I get paid to do. So I think you kind of hit in the direction I was hoping you would, that these compounds are not just to slow the growth of the plant. And when you change some of these processes within a plant, energy has to go somewhere. Now, I know, Corey, you dabbled in, PGRs quite a bit, but let the listeners know that above and beyond just growth suppression, rattle off three amazing health benefits. Well, I shouldn't have said that because now I gave one away.
I got it. Hey, we
other benefits of using a plant growth regulator.
Well, yeah, let's do that. Let's look at first, why are these compounds, what are they doing? And there are a couple different kinds of plant growth regulators. We'll do a quote unquote type 2 growth regulator. So a type 2 growth regulator doesn't affect the number of cells, just how big they get. So when you put this product or this active ingredient down, what you're doing is you're actually reducing gibberellic acid. That's what's responsible for cell elongation. But like Joe, like you were just saying, is that energy needs to go somewhere. So where that goes in a plant is something we call abscisic acid. And I know we talked about it about a year ago on our podcast, because that's important during the fall, during autumn. But anyhow, abscisic acid is responsible for the tree protection hormone. And when you increase the abscisic acid, oftentimes you'll see disease resistance, drought resistance because of a thicker and waxier leaf. And you'll also see improved appearance because oftentimes what these plants have to do is with that increase in abscisic acid, they start thinking, I'm slightly stressed. I'm a little stressed. So they can put out more fine root hairs to find available nutrients and maybe water. So disease resistance, drought resistance, and improved appearance and health.
Yeah. Now, it's pretty amazing when you think about all the, and I think we as an industry, we always focus on the first one, growth suppression.
Right.
But putting out pheromones or hormones to protect itself. It leads me to my other question for you, Corey. Could it be labeled as a, not a placebo, but I think I want to go to placebo, like an elicitor? Could it be not just a growth regulator, it's more of a plant elicitor?
Absolutely.
It's thought process.
It is. And I'm going to try to not get us sued, but B, also not ruffle any feathers for people in Colorado or California, maybe Illinois, some of those other states that are really strict on that. Cause when you're writing up a work order, you probably have to put it down as either a plant growth regulator or something like that. Cause that's how it's labeled. But, I would also look at that and think you can prescribe a plant growth regulator. If you have your applicator's license and you're registered, you can prescribe this for so many things beyond just growth regulation. For instance, right now, this time of year, a lot of trees, parking lot trees, get leaf scorch. So they have drought stress. And I think when you start to apply some of these growth regulators, you get that thicker, waxier leaf, more fibrous roots to seek out some of that moisture. So the program was probably written, apply a plant growth regulator, but it's not really meant to regulate the growth in that instance. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I appreciate your candor, because it's not, we're not here to debate the pros and cons of it. We're just here to say, hey, this is other things that can happen. And there's a lot of great compounds out there that do this. And I don't think we look at it as often as some should. I had a great question with an applicator today. Again, I'm on the beach taking some time off, and then he called the second time. I'm thinking, man, I gotta talk to him. And he had some great questions and great ideas. And I'm like, had some trees, can't figure out what's wrong with them. I'm asking, and then he said about a drought, and I'm thinking, you need to look at something totally different than you're used to, because I don't think there's an insect or disease affecting these trees. I just think it's environmental stress. So you need to put something in the ground to get through this period, and to help this tree recover the next 2 or 3 years, because a drought affects a tree for 3 to 5 years.
Oh, sure.
Well, it takes a long time to get over. So how do you, what can you use? And that's a perfect opportunity to use something like a growth regulator. It's, so with restrictions on water around the world, there's compounds out there that help you optimize the water vapor in soils and in the air that could be applied as a tool to control the overall health of the tree. So there's so many new exciting directions that arborists have to use in their arsenal to care and preserve trees.
No, that's true. And I think some of the best arborists are the ones that have done it all, or they've done a lot to where they've been exposed to this whole, let's call it a quiver, or let's call it a toolbox, right? It's not just that you don't just have a hammer, you don't just have one chemistry or one compound and one way of applying it. Because that's another thing we can talk about, is we have applications, goodness, Joe. You could foliar spray, if you do get into the pesticide application, you can foliar spray, you can trunk spray, you can soil inject, you can trunk inject. I'm probably missing a few, but we have so many options as applicators. It's amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. And some of these compounds are getting to the point where they're getting to where it's getting cost effective to be used in an ag setting, which when you start getting into bulk, you really need to get down and sharpen your pencils on the economics. So as we bounce back and forth from primarily herbivorous forestry to forestry, some of these compounds and some of these applications, I could see as we continue to work on an ag setting, be used in forests.
Absolutely.
You know, think about a forest fire. Forest fire goes by, burns down all the top growth. There's nothing shading the soil anymore. There's evaporation quicker. There's hard things to get regerminated. You know, what if some of these compounds you could helo drop in certain areas to help speed up germination and reestablishment in a forest setting?
It's a great idea.
You know,
different coatings with fertilizers and all that.
All in.
Yeah.
All in. You know, it's pretty incredible. And I think you need to look at it at a grand scale like that, because, you know, I know that the U.S. Forest Service has a lot of great programs where they're out, you know, replanting. But man hours, you got enough man and man, oh, I said, do you have enough people?
Yeah.
Because that can plant enough fast enough to regenerate quick enough to keep up with what we're losing.
So
the faster, easier way with some compounds that help establishment might be a direction we need to go.
That's smart. And I like how you kind of put that, because you've gone full circle, whether you meant to or not, right? You've gone from, hey, how do we prevent, how do we treat for what we have? And then you've moved into, how do we encourage the future growth? What's next? How do we, because it is a big circle. It's all related.
It is. It is. You know what? When you have a catastrophic event, I was talking to someone down here and they're talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject, but this kind of plays into what we're talking about. But she was in the Bahamas when a hurricane hit. And even hurricanes, catastrophic event that affect trees. But not only do they affect trees, they affect the whole flora and fauna. And in the Bahamas, where she used to stay, they never seen dolphins until the hurricane hit, because it swirls around. It actually swirled around so bad that the dolphins were now on the north side of the cove and the sharks are on the south, where they'd never seen sharks before.
Whoa.
So it just kind of shows you that catastrophic events have just bigger effects on this world than we give credit for. But forest fires are getting more and more prevalent. Drought is more and more prevalent.
The size of these disturbances, like the rain events, they're getting more and more prevalent. The category storms are getting. I was reading something the other day about how, you know, it's going to cost $50 trillion a year if we continue on this trajectory with the natural, quote unquote, natural disasters we're having at the rate they're growing. It's crazy.
And it all affects trees, it all affects forestry, it all affects urban forestry. And if the science, the compounds that we're talking about, the placebo is there. You know, remember back in the day when our mind was greater than we thought, and the old placebo sugar pill science report where they were giving patients and they were saying what it was, and it was their mind, their will. Healed them. Is there a placebo for the tree care?
Well, it's funny you say that. And once again, without throwing any chemical company under the bus, I had in a previous life, I had worked with a distributor of a certain product, and I go, man, I don't know if this works. I just haven't seen the results. You know, we were doing trials for a couple of years, and this gentleman who worked for that company said, well, Corey, the customer will notice that it works if they think that it works. I'm going, what are you talking about? He goes, they'll see the results they want to see.
That's going to work if they think it works.
Exactly. And I'm just going, well, but that's not right. You know, where's the integrity?
That's a whole nother chemical. We could just play. And again, we're not picking on anybody, but, you know, it being a tree whisperer, we could just go out to your forest and play beautiful music and give your trees a hug. And if I guess you're right. If the landowner thinks it's working, is it working?
Exactly. And who am I to tell you how to manage your stand or your money? You know, a couple thousand bucks, I'll hug every tree on your property. Why not?
I don't know if I would. It comes to cutting trees there.
It depends. It depends how big the property is, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and how much time you got to spend 3 weeks out there hugging every tree. But, you know, maybe that, maybe they, I'm telling you, Corey, plants are alive, trees are alive.
Well, and they feel vibrations. So, you know, whether it's music vibrations, love vibrations, earth vibrations, whatever it is, it's all related. There's something to it.
Do you think there is a study about music in the forest?
I'm almost certain there is.
Don't they play music to like certain cattle, like Wagyu beef is kept in a pampered location and play classical music and there's no stress in its life?
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, something like that. But I don't know. Is it that, like I said, with today's topic being the future of tree care, is there a signal? Is there a tone? We know trees react to tropism, external stimuli. I am curious if anybody out there knows, have they conducted a study with certain tones in a forest and noticed, is there overall significant plant health care findings?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious too.
Corey, this is such an important topic. We may be joking around a little bit about it, but we're not going to have a lot of the insecticides and fungicides and stuff that we apply today forever.
That's true. And we have a lot of great minds that listen to our shows. So any listeners that may be thinking, hey, have, you know, maybe they come from an outside industry, or maybe they have more knowledge on the future of tree care. Yeah, we'd love to hear about it. Send Joe or myself a note on what you think could happen, or maybe some research trials that you're involved in. We'd geek out with you.
Or if you know a professor or someone that's actually trying it, let us know. We'll reach out. But I know that we have to stay either we're trying or we're dying. So we have to continue to research. And if you ever deal with a company that's got a research department and they're trying this stuff, that's phenomenal, because they're trying to give you something that they believe in their heart that is what you need to do. So that's huge. That's important. Research. I can't say that enough. Find out. Dig it up for yourself. Have your contact show it to you. Hand it to them. This is what we did. This is what the trees did. And this is why we're recommending.
Yeah. And stay thirsty for knowledge, right?
Yeah. We talked about that.
Be adaptable.
You and I are dorks. Of course, we're going to stay thirsty about knowledge. Oh, yeah. That's why we're out here doing a podcast. We got to stay thirsty so we can tell all our listeners all the cool stuff that we get to find out for.
Well, speaking of staying thirsty, Joe, it's about time for me to make another one. I'm thinking you're probably close to it.
Yeah, I'm drinking a down home punch. It goes good with an umbrella in it when you're down here in the Carolinas. But yeah, thanks, Corey, and thanks to our listeners. And if there's anything on this topic that they want to add, man, reach out to us.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear from them.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Joe, again. I hope you have a good rest of your vacation. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.